about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Something to eat. Those are miracles. I can stand. My mind is working. My mind is at work. I am not crazy at the moment. God be glorified. Put your hands together for Jesus. Presence of the Lord. I don't want dirty. Get me a clean shirt. I need a new one. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Amen. Powerful. It's good to see you all. What a blessing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. I miss you all too. It's a blessing. You know, the Bible, the Bible says in Hebrews, Chapter 6 and verse number 10. God is not unrighteous to forget. So it is very unrighteous to be forgetful of what has been done for you. God is not unrighteous. Look, the people at the back, when I quote a scripture, bring it up. God is not unrighteous to forget. Okay? That means that if he was unrighteous, he would have forgotten. It means forgetfulness is usually done by unrighteous people. You know, forgetfulness is a form of unrighteousness. You know, many people, you don't remember what has been done for you. What your mother has done for you. Sometimes what your child has done for you. Sometimes what your husband or wife or pastor or church member, your colleagues, your boss. Many people are very ungrateful. When you see people who are fighting, let me tell you what it involves. You know, the two of you come. I'm going to show you what your ingratitude means. Fight. You see, fight. You know, do you know what this means? Do you know, watch this. Do you know why they're fighting? Okay. Yeah, you see, watch this. Now watch. It takes people who are close to fight. It means once upon a time they were close. Yeah. There is no, you don't fight. You see, the reason, the truth, and that, you know, the biggest rivalry in the whole body is between the tongue and the tooth. They are in the same place. They bite each other the more, but they eat the same food. They stay in the same house. They are blessed. They do not forget. The tongue doesn't forget that, yes, I am very good at tasting, but many of the foods, if it's not chewed well, I can't taste it. And the tooth remembers, well, of all my chewing, it will be useless if it wasn't for my prospect that I'll be tasting something good by the tongue. Each of them remembers, and therefore, a bite here, a bite there, they stay together. The tooth has not moved to be at the thigh. Well, I'm going to hide between the bottom cheeks. Well, you will smell.
You
will bite. And that will not be forgiving you. There's nothing in common. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that it takes some closeness in the first place. Anybody you get mad with, remember this. People who are away from you look very good. But it's because you've not drawn close. Somebody gave you the privilege of being close. And what you need is gratitude for that privilege. Not insults for the side effects of that privilege. Yeah. It's only because he dared to be close, to sit together. Some people have sitting somewhere. For whatever reason, you don't know. Maybe they don't like you. But somebody has decided to like you. The only reason why there's a fight is because of the daring, the closeness. So anytime that I do something to my wife, no, when my wife does something to me, I forgive her. Because I want to be grateful. I mean, she agreed to marry me when I was nobody. How can I forget? 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 How dare you forget? The same way, God was the one who saved you brought you close. He didn't need to. And therefore, one prayer that was you in your mind was not answered. I'm out of here. How can you? I'm gone. I'll be gone. It's not like that. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, forgive me for my ingratitude. I will forever remember. We will remember. We will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. Oh, yes. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. Lord, we will remember. 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 Oh, the works of your hand. Oh, yes. We will stop. Life has its darkest valleys. May God give you vision, review of 2020 to remember all that He's done for you. Anytime I open my mouth to complain, I tell the Lord, man, I still got a voice. I still got life. I'm still here. For that alone, I'm grateful. I still have joy. I still have joy. After all I've been through, I still have joy. Do you know that song? I still have joy. I still have. I still have joy. Always remember. All right. There's somebody here who's going through something. But the Lord says, remember. Remember the days of my goodness. Psalm 77 reminds me of something. I think it's verse 10. David calls it his infirmity. Psalm 77, verse 10. Go to verse 8. Huh. Go to, you see, this is my infirmity. Go to verse 8. David started complaining, and watch this. Go to verse 5. When you start complaining, be like David. He said, I've considered the days of old, the years of the ancient times. Verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. Okay? I commune with my own heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. I'm wondering. I'm torn for words. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is the Lord not minding me anymore? Has the Lord forsaken me? Will he not be favorable anymore? Has it occurred to somebody before that why is everybody enjoying favor except me? Will he not be favorable anymore? We all say that. Then verse 8. Has his mercy ceased? Yes, I know that I'm not the best of people. I know I've sinned. Should he hold it against me like that? Is he punishing me forever? Is he not merciful? Brother, what are you doing? Keep it until I tell you. Has his promise failed forevermore? Is it not the Lord who says he's merciful? Has he failed? Does he promise and fail? Then it goes on in verse 9. And you wonder, has God forgotten to be gracious? Isn't he the God of grace? Grace means undeserved favor. I know I don't deserve it. But when will I see your grace? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Is he so angry that now I don't care about you anymore? And the word is Selah, pause and think. Because it affects you. Then David does something that amazes me. He searches, he thinks deeply. And his next statement after Selah, pause and think, is what I want you to notice, verse 10. And I said to myself, King James, brother. This is my infirmity. I am the problem. This is a problem with me. It's not a problem with God. This is my infirmity. This is my weakness. This is me acting up again. This is my negativity again coming to me. This is my infirmity. It is me. The problem is not God, it's me. It's the way I look at things, the way I look at God. Some of you never believe in God, never believe that he's forgiven you. You never believe he's merciful. You never believe he will ever be good to you. David was like that. He complained. This is never going to work. It's never going to work out. Negative. It's never going to work. God has shut off his mercies forever. God will never be favorable to me. Other people will do well, but I will never do well. Yeah. When it happens that way, you have to turn. See, Selah, think about it again and speak like David. No, this is my infirmity. And then look at what he started saying. But now we'll remember the years of his right hand. Brother, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. May you remember the years. May you remember. May you not be forgetful. May you not be forgetful. Yesterday, a couple came to me for counseling. And as they were talking, and I saw the ladies, you know how your ladies, your hands are putting you. Hey, girls. You. I said, don't pluck out the eye, brother, sister. I said, the way you're talking to your husband, you're like Jezebel. Don't do that. And bring a curse on yourself. And I said, look at you today. Today, your husband is down. So look at the way you're treating him. I said, I'm promising you, I'm prophesying. Within 1 year, it will tilt. And this man will show you Christianity that will make you remember and regret the way you treated him. He will not repay you back your evil behavior. And I said, remember the days of old when things were okay. How he took care of you. How he loved you. How he chose you among all women and put a diamond ring on your hand. Have you forgotten all that? Whenever you feel like poking the hand, see the ring on your hand. You poke the hand, your ring will be poked. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a blessing to have somebody who has been good to you before. Ever. Ever. God has been good. Tell someone, God's been good. God's been good to me. Do you know that song? God's been good to me. Yeah. When I think of what the Lord has done in my life, I know God's been good to me. Sing along. Oh, God's been good to me. He's been good to me. God's been good to me. Oh, when I sing, think of what the Lord has done in my life, I know God's been good to me. Ladies and gentlemen, God is still good. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your feelings don't define God. Try and rather redefine your feelings in the light of God's goodness. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Do not redefine God because of your feelings, but rather redefine your feelings based on who God is to you. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I believe somebody is encouraged this morning. I believe somebody is strengthened this morning. I believe somebody is going to, your situation is going to turn around. David said, it is my infirmity. It is my infirmity. The problem is not God. The problem is the way we think. It's me. Tell someone, the problem is me. The problem is me. It's not the Lord. The problem is me. And look at, from that time on, David's voice changed. From verse 10, he said, this is my infirmity. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. When somebody has a right hand, your God's strength is with you. And then verse 11. And he said, verse 11, and I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I love it. Tell somebody, I love it. Verse 12, I will meditate also of all your works and talk of your doings. Talk to somebody about the doings of God. Talk to somebody about what the Lord has done for you. Esther, tell your sister some of the things God has done for you. Mama, grandma, tell them that they are very young. They don't know God the way you know God. Tell somebody two or three things God has done for you. Talk about His goodness. Talk about His goodness. Is there a song like that? Yes. What song is it? Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above. Yes, Lord. So great is the measure. I'm sorry. I was distracted. Think about His grace.
about his goodness.
Think about his goodness.
Think about his greatness.
Think about his greatness. That's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure.
Even mine enemies and my foes came upon me to eat my flesh. They stumbled and fell. That problem will stumble and fall. That enemy will stumble and fall. Verse 3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in this house of the Lord, not for a few days, all the days of my life, so that I'll behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Look at what's going to happen to people who come to church. For in the time of trouble, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He will set me upon a rock. Even verse 26. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Come on, clap for the Lord Jesus. All around me. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Tell somebody, I may not have a nicest voice, but I can sing and he will hear me. Clap again for the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Somebody with a smile. Tell somebody, my, the Lord is good to you. He will see you through. He will see you through. I know he will see you through. I don't know, but there's a blessing set up for somebody here. Somebody came in with tears, but you go rejoicing. Somebody came in with deep depression, but you go rejoicing. Somebody came with depressed distress, but you go with strength. Somebody came here discouraged, and you leave encouraged. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Let's welcome the Greater Love Choir as we take out an offering. Take out a good offering. Take out a good offering as we welcome the Greater Love Choir. A good offering. Dan, why are you not in the choir? I don't want to see you sitting down there again when the choir is singing. This should be your last time. Say thank you. All right. Powerful. She's a very good singer. And your husband too. Clap for the Lord Jesus. He's going to rap next week alongside when the wife sings. God willing. Take out a good offering, please.
Oh, what a beautiful, colorful choir. Wow.
Lift up your offering to the Lord. Lift up. There should be nobody who doesn't pay your tithes or offerings with, you should use phone. We're going to do it one by one. Everybody, we're going to help you to set it up, okay? So, Sister Barbara, next week, as people are coming, or people as they're leaving, let's teach them. Okay, let's go cashless corner. Cashless corner, okay? Cashless corner. So we're going to set up. Everybody, bring your phone and we'll help you to set it up, okay? So that you keep record of everything. It's also good for your taxes. And because some cannot take everything, okay? Lift up your phone, lift up your offering. Everybody that's believing God that you have enough account, that anytime you just come and click anytime and then money can be given to the Lord. You are believing God. You also lift up, even if you are not on text, you lift up your phone. That you are believing God that you have enough account, enough money, that when you come to church, you didn't even think about your offering, but immediately they said it, you just took your phone, because there's always going to be enough money in your account. Believe it. It's a prophetic thing. Lift it up. I'm going to pray over these phones. Lift it up. If you didn't bring your phone, you don't have an account, lift up your hand. I want to pray over your hand. Father, your word says, the silver and the gold, they belong to you. How come your children will be hungry when silver and gold belongs to you? That doesn't add up. I pray that let the spirit of sonship and daughtership come upon your people. Set, I will inherit every blessing that's upon you. You are the one who gives power to make wealth. If our Father gives power to make wealth, we cannot be powerless financially. Give everybody here financial strength, supernatural strength, physical strength, moral strength, spiritual strength to overcome. And let everybody have enough finances that your house and your storehouse may be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Expect a miracle.
I want to feel your presence. I want to know your power. Fill me now with more of you. I want to see your glory. I want to know your will. So won't you please come and fill this place? 'Cause I need fresh oil from you. Anew from above, I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Shower down your rain upon me, make me more and more like Jesus. Have your way in me, so that the world may see you are the potter, I am just the clay. So mold me and make me completely into what you want me to be, and I'll be changed from glory to glory. 'Cause I need fresh oil from you. Anew from above, I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Shower down your rain upon me, make me more and more like Jesus. Anew from above, I need your presence today. Please come and
Take my heart and let it be consecrated to you. Take my heart, life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my mold. Surrender everything to you. You're so good. Thank you for your mighty works and for your wonderful greatness. Excellent greatness. This morning we surrender to you. May you be the subject and object of all that we do and say. May you be lifted up so that all men will drawn and will be drawn unto you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Deal with every problem. Deal with every demon. And let your perfect will be done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please stand to somebody and tell the person, you are in for a treat from the Lord. God will give you a good treatment.
He'll give you a facial. He'll give you manicure, pedicure, a body wash, oil your whole body, anoint you before you leave here. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This person you just spoke to will be more beautiful than you are seeing this person now by the time we're done. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I don't know whether you know who I am. Tell the person, I'm the child of God, okay? Tell the person, I am the child of God. I'm a child of God. If you're a guy, say, I'm a son of God. If you're a daughter, say, I'm a daughter of God. And tell the person, don't be jealous. Just be a child of God. It's as simple as that. Amen. Now, what does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be a child of God? You see, many of us, I don't know how you treated your mom or how you treat your mom or your dad, but it goes a long way in determining what you get from them. Yes. It is undeniable the fact that you are your parents' child, your father's child. But the question is that are you getting everything that you should get from that parent? As for that one, it depends on your attitude. You see? So you realize that before Isaac would bless, he called Esau, said, go and bring me savory meat, such as my soul loves, the one that I am happy with. Anybody that makes your parents happy, you are in for a treat. Me, I'm obsessed with pleasing God. I'm obsessed. So I work to live, but I live to please God. Period. I work to live, but I live to work for God. I'll say it again. I work to live, but I live to work for the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, because I know where my help comes from. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from when cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. The Lord Jesus. All of your help comes from the Lord. All of your help comes from the Lord. Goodness, come. No, in fact, you can sit down because your mom is not here. Come. Who's Russell? Come. Look at this. Patricia, come. This guy. baby cup. Look at this. 12-year-old. Taller than mommy. Taller than daddy. Now, how much is this pants?
What? I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. How much is this shirt?
I don't know.
How much are your shoes?
I don't know.
How much is the haircut?
Free.
It's not free, eh? He doesn't know. Watch it. Because of the mother's friendship with Brother Spencer, he says it's free. But he doesn't know that costs him. How much do you charge if you are to charge professionally? $20. You didn't know. Okay. How much is the rent?
I don't know.
Do you live in a home?
Yes.
But you don't know how much it costs?
No.
All of my help cometh from the My hand. He doesn't know.
My hand.
He's been helped.
My hand.
Did you know?
All of your help.
Somebody has paid the price.
Come from your mom.
Listen. He thinks it's free. This is how the Lord is. How much is your breath? You will tell me it's free. It's not free. If I tell you the scientific processes that must hold in place for oxygen to be released from the plants through photosynthesis, through, what's it called? How the water in the atmosphere, do you know transpiration? Do you know that when you breathe out and they put you in a chamber, carbon dioxide, you die with carbon dioxide poisoning, but the plants take it up. Carbon dioxide, not only do they remove it for you not to die, but they convert it. They add water to the carbon dioxide. Can you add water and carbon? Do you know what? But it produces carbohydrates for you to eat and to breathe again. And as a byproduct of providing food for you, they release oxygen for you to keep alive. That's what the plant does. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You don't know any of this. You don't have to understand it, but it is always taking place. You add water and carbon dioxide, whether you can produce food. But God miraculously adds carbon dioxide and water, and food is produced. And as a byproduct, oxygen for you to breathe. All of your help. Ladies and gentlemen, because now, if this guy is told by the mother, do your chores. I need you to work for me. Help. Clean. Clean dishes. Clean your room. Wash mommy's things. Make sure mommy's room is clean. Make sure the house is in order. Make sure you put... Is it too much to ask? And if he doesn't do it, what kind of a child is he? Do you think he will do well? Go away. You are blessed. All right. Now, listen. That is how some of us are. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ was being sought after by the parents. And Jesus said, why were you searching for me? And he told the parents, this is some of the things some kids need to tell their friends. When their friends are coming for them and then they haven't finished their chores. He said, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Clap for the Lord Jesus. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Listen, sometimes it's nice when I see kids who understand that their friends are inviting them. And they say, no, I have to finish my chores. I have to respect my parents. I have to honor my parents. I have to clean the home before. Do not call me until 4 because I need to do my chores. That child is a blessed child. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus set a good family example. He knew who his father was. He did everything, but he had not forgotten the ultimate father. Just like sometimes, as we all know God our Father,
Sometimes I tell you that it's not me that sent myself. We have to even relate with Bishop Dagwood Mills, who has taught me to become a pastor, raised me, prayed for me, trained me. Same way, Jesus Christ. And then when I come here and I'm preaching, I don't preach about myself or even Bishop Dag. Preach about God the Father, Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ was quick to tell every relationship that He had that I have a higher relationship. If any form of relationship that does not respect your higher relationship, you are not behaving like Jesus. Whether the relationship is a boyfriend, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife, whether it's a mother, father, everything. Bible says that if you will honor your mother above me, then you don't love me. You're not my disciple. Anybody who puts these things above God, you are not my disciple. Jesus Christ was the example. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Quick, your job, your boss, every relationship must know that there's a higher relationship to which you are submitted. Jesus was not being rude to the parents, but was pointing the parents to the higher, trying to tell the parents, do you know who gave me to you? In case you've forgotten, Mother Mary, Mama Mary, Father Joseph, do you remember the dream? Do you remember how you got pregnant? Do you remember when you couldn't have a baby? Do you remember when you were about to divorce? The Father. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Father that takes care of you. The Bible says in Psalm 27 verse 10, when your mother and your father forsake you, He will never forsake you. He will keep you. He will keep you. He will keep you. He will take you up. Ladies and gentlemen, I have lost my mother and my father, and many of you have. But I don't live as an orphan, because the higher parenting has taken over. Anybody who does not recognize God the Father, you are either a bastard, an orphan, or you are submitted to the devil. You are vulnerable. Today I came to announce you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God is excited at fathering you. God is excited at making you His child, and not just by name, but through full activity. That's not a problem. But today I want to talk to you about your responsibility towards Him as a son, as a daughter. That is what is mostly, I'm yet to see a real, you know, we don't have too many good fathers, especially when it comes to, you know, some of us have not seen good fathers, or some of us, our fathers have died, or have not seen them at all. Some don't even know our fathers. So you have a difficulty relating with God the Father. Today, I want you to think of God as the mother, because all of you identify with that. Bible says God is the mighty breasted one. If you can't see God as Father, see God as mother. Mothers never forsake. Mothers are always there. Yeah. We hear about single mothers, but we don't hear about single fathers. Not that often, because they stick around. God will stick around for you. Amen. Amen. God will stick around. And if you're a man here, don't be a fool. If you impregnate somebody, take care of the baby. Yeah, don't be a fool. Because God will punish you for it. Yeah. Anyway, because you are spoiling the name of the Lord. You're making people feel that a father is a bad thing. But God is not a bad father. And God gave you His rule in this land to teach the kids that there's somebody called a father. And the Father, He added, everlasting Father, I'll be there for life. The thick and the thin. Even the prodigal son, when he misbehaved, when he came, it was not the mother, it was the father who was waiting. That is the Father. We should be hearing of single fathers more than single mothers. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Well, I must be about my Father's business. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a business called the Father's business. The question I want to ask you is that, have you ever assess yourself as God the Father? What is His business? And am I involved in His business? Am I a good child? if you expect your child to do chores, to clean, to work, you don't have to pay anything, and you don't have to pay anything to God. But to work is the responsibility of a child, and Jesus understood that. I understand that I have to work for the Lord. There should be no Christian in your life you don't work for the Lord. You are an illegitimate Christian. You are not a Christian means Christ-like. You are not like Christ. If you are a Christian, you are in this church or any church, and you do not find yourself doing chores in the church, doing the work of the Lord, you are illegitimate. You are not like Christ. Yeah. I'm talking about you. Don't look anywhere. It's you I'm talking about. Tell somebody it's me they are talking about. Jesus said, what I'm surprised that you do not know that I must, not I should, not I may. Must means it's not optional. I must be about my Father's business. When I ask you, how many of you, God is your Father? You give me, how many, God is not your Father? The devil is your Father. Lift up your hand. Anybody here, God is not your Father. Your Father is the devil. Give me a wave. Hey, zero. Zero. Okay. How many of you, God is your Father? Give me a wave. If somebody's hand is not, why is your hand down? God is not your Father? The devil is your Father? God is your Father. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, how many are Christians? Give me a wave. Christ-like. God is your Father. Then behave like Christ. Christ said, anybody that will be like me, just like I said, do you not ask somebody, how come you do not know that I must be about my Father's business? Ask somebody, did you not know? Ask somebody, Brother Clinton, McLean, ask somebody, did you know I must be about my Father's business? Ladies and gentlemen, don't be deceived. If you die now and you go to heaven, you will miss a lot of crowns if you did not work for the Lord. I'm telling you. Don't be deceived. I'm telling you. Just like the child who does not want to do any chores, they have no favors. They have no blessing. Their parents are not happy with them. I'm telling you, God, when you got born again, he did not allow you to die because he had works for you. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse number 8. The Bible says that, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? Good works, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in those good works. God's plan, ordained plan for you before you were saved, that you will be saved and operate in God's good works. If no pastor has told you and you are just a pew warmer, we don't need no heaters here. We have heat. I can burn you up with our heat. We'll pay for it. Your bottom is not for heater. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have been a Christian and you've never been in the workforce of God, somebody is denying you of what brings you the favor of God. Somebody is denying you of what your crowns will be in heaven. Somebody is being irresponsible. I will not be the one. I will remind you, no matter how busy you are, you're not busier than me. You don't even know how many hours I've slept. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, just try it. The people that work for the Lord, they are jewels. People that work like Jesus. When Jesus came, he came to do the works of God. I must be about my Father's business. Ever since my pastor, Bishop Doug, told me, hey, a Christian
is to be like Christ, must be about his father's business. You must work for the Lord. I have never turned back. Can you imagine if I had sat in a pew like you? You would, nice people like you would not be sitting here. Look at the nice music. Look at your children and how they are now behaving well. They were going wayward, but now God has brought them home. If it was not, if I had refused to be like Christ, you think you are like Christ. You are not completely like Christ. Christ worked for his father. Please give us some heat before the bottom stay too long. Increase it. And then the other one too. Ladies and gentlemen, that talent guy who hid his talent, Bible says that he was a Christian. He went to heaven all right, but he burnt in a place where there was gnashing of teeth and what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, there was weep. He was thrown into outer darkness. There's a compartment in heaven called outer darkness. It's not hell. It's not hell. That is not hell. It's outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see somebody weeping, it's a sign of regret. It's a sign of regret. People have regretted. I wish I had done something for the Lord. I wish I'd brought somebody home. I wish I brought somebody to church. As we do come home next week, it also marks the initiation of your role as a child of God. Somebody who works to bring people home for the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. Malachi chapter 3. You think I'm going to talk about tithe? No, you missed it. From verse number 12. Maybe 13. Verse number 12. Malachi 3, 12. All nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Verse 13. Your words have been stout or very sharp against me, says the Lord. I'm telling you, Christians who sometimes you have reason to complain, there's something that will deal with your complaints. That will help you. Will really help you. Watch this. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? Now watch this. The thing that has made many people relax. I'm not going to do anything for the Lord. God is discussing it. Watch this. Verse 14. You have said it is useless or vain to serve God. Yeah. What's use is it? What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? I'm telling you, the thing that is keeping you, all right? And the devil will attack it. You watch it. Yeah. Now, verse 15 says, and now we call the proud people happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they tempt God and are even still delivered. That's what people say. Christians say, oh, there's no point. I don't need to do anything good because after all, people don't do good. Nothing happens to them. Watch it. Watch it. Verse 16. Then, this is the contrast. He's talking about people who refuse to work for the Lord and complain that there's no point. Those of us who do nothing, God has described you. Now, God is turning you into a different person. This is you. It says, they that fear the Lord spoke one to another. They encourage one another. And the Lord heard it, hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before God for them who feared the Lord and who thought upon his name. Then, what was it? Verse 17. Listen to what was written. God said, they shall be mine. They shall be mine. Anybody who works for the Lord, you have God as your father and owner. God owns you. You know, you can't come and pick up my car easily. I'll call the police on you. No. I have an alarm. Alarm will blow. By the time you are driving and police will be coming after you because it has an owner. Yeah. I have the identity. Somebody took my iPad. The iPad kept crying.
No, I'm serious. The iPad, it was in Indiana. I sounded an alarm on the iPad. Kept crying. The person couldn't hide it any longer. Yeah. The owner will sound and disturb you until you give it up. He dropped it at a nursing station and the nurse called, looked in and said, ah, there's a paper in that bears your name. Have you left your iPad somewhere? I said, ah. It had gotten legs and moved to the nursing station. He couldn't carry it home. I'm telling you, when you are on, you cannot easily hurt somebody who belongs to the Lord. How do you show that you belong to the Lord? Let me tell you, the place you work is the place you earn, right? They call you an employee. That's your boss. That's your master. That's your supervisor. That's the person, in a way, who owns you. Servants are also called slaves. You don't like that name, but that's what you do. Only that you have a right to leave or not to leave. But when you leave, to their implications. Yeah. Leave and see. The day you leave, your car may easily leave. Your house may easily leave. Your food may easily go away as well. That is how God, I'm going to tell you, God makes us serve, but not as slaves. I'm going to tell you what he makes you because you serve him. But suffice it to explain to you what your service brings. You can't sleep. If you sleep, you are not called. Let me tell you something. God says, when you are his, it's not like when you are a slave or an employee in a job where if you don't come, you see what I'll do to you. God, the people that work, he doesn't treat them as slaves. He says, you shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, you are called jewels, precious, precious stones, precious ornaments. God calls his workers jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. God, anybody who serves God, he doesn't call a slave. He calls a son. He calls a daughter. So I'm serving like Jesus Christ was serving, but not as a servant. He said, I'm serving my father. I must be about my father's business, not my boss's business, not my supervisor's business, not my employer's business. You're not my master. God doesn't treat his workers as a master treats employees. He treats his workers as sons. As sons. He's a father. When I stand here and I'm preaching, I'm enjoying the blessings of sonship. I'm enjoying the Father's glory. I am becoming a jewel. God is sparing me as a man spares his own son who serves him. It's not every son who serves. It's not every daughter who serves. You must never be in this church and not serve your father. You must never, never. There should be nobody like that. There should be nobody like that. There should be nobody like that. Yeah. You are wasting an opportunity. You're wasting an opportunity. You know, my new job, every hour you work, they pay you. I found a place where the work is a lot. Yeah, because I travel. I told my wife, I didn't travel to finish at 5 o'clock and to watch television till 12 to sleep. No. If I'm traveling where I'm not in contact with my children, my wife, my thing, then I'm going to work till midnight. And you pay me those hours. I think that's a very expensive way to go and rest. When my nice bed is there, my nice wife bombastically sitting there. That's expensive. I said, I'm not going to waste my time sitting here. I've told myself, I'm not going to waste my time in this world. Every opportunity I get, I'm going to work and earn some jewels and earn some reward and earn some crowns. I'm going to work for the Lord. I'm not going to waste my time on foolishness and serve the devil. I'm a physician, in case you didn't know. I work like you, but I work for the Lord. As homecoming is coming, as come home next week is coming, it's your opportunity to work for the Lord. It's your opportunity to invite. That's the work of God. God says, he'll make you jewels and spare you. I like the next one, verse 18. He said, then shall you return and you will discern. You will now discover. You're feeling hot now, right? I told you I can give you heat. Your bottom is not needed. Heat we can give you. Tell somebody, get off your bottom because it's not heat we need. We can produce heat. Get off your bottom and work for the Lord. Says you shall return. It means that the direction you're going, you shall return. Now, the heat is a bit much now, brother. Come on now. I asked for it, but now it's too much, girl. Lizzie, be careful now. Now, since you return, you will turn around. Wherever you're going, you thought it was right. When you turn around, you see something different. You return. When you return, you will discern. You will discover between that there's a difference between the righteous and the wicked. And you get to know that there's a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve Him. Clap for the Lord Jesus. There is always a difference. There is always a difference. I'm telling you, there's a difference. I've seen it. I've been a pastor since 19, since my son was born. 1997. I've been a pastor that long, by God's grace. Some of you were not born. Since 1997, I've seen a few things. I've seen the difference between those who serve God and those who don't. There's a difference. There are jewels and there are those who are not jewels. I've decided to serve God till I die. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says in Revelation 14, 13, and I had a loud voice from heaven. I had a loud voice. And what did they say? They said, blessed. He said, right. I had a loud voice from heaven. Say, right. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. The world is not to rest, it's to work for the Lord. That they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. When you die, you leave everything here. Your car, your wife, your children, even your body, you leave it here. Yeah. Even your body, I say, will be tired. You leave here. Everything will be left here. There's only one thing that will go after you, your works. Your works for the Lord. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The works you did for the Lord, that is what will follow you. You keep going, your job, your spouse, your home, and leave the works. One day you will die. It's not a curse. It's in the Bible that you will die. It's appointed. It's an appointment. Nobody, you can lose your, you can cancel your doctor's appointment, but the death appointment you can't cancel. Oh, that's one appointment. Nobody can cancel that appointment. You don't even know when it is. You can't reschedule. You can't postpone. There's a day that's coming. When it comes, everything will be left here. But one thing will go with you, your works. Ask somebody, what are you doing for the Lord? What work are you doing? Some of you, choir, small choir practice, you come. You grumble and you don't come. Some of you even come to church early and come and shake people's hands so that with a smile, they will be encouraged. You won't come. Some of you, next week, we're asking, bring people. Invite five people. You see how many will do it. I mean, a lot of you will do it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. A lot of you will do it. Tell somebody, if you won't do it, I will do it. If you won't do it, I will do it. Oh, no, no. I didn't say keep quiet. Tell a minor. I said, tell somebody, if you won't do it, I'll do it. Don't keep quiet. You're not adding disobedience to your no works. And you respond to the person, tell the person, why are you thinking I'm not going to do it? I'm the one going to do it. You are the one that I'm worried about. Yeah. Listen, I'm telling you, I've been young. I've been middle-aged by the grace of God. I don't think I'm old. But I've seen the difference. I've seen the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve. I'm not talking about just praying. I'm talking about doing the works of God. Like Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. You get busy. Get busy for the Lord. Get tired for the Lord. Sweat a little for the Lord. Be inconvenienced for the Lord.
inconvenience because of choir practice. Inconvenience because you have to come for meetings. Inconvenience because you have to come early and come and clean. Inconvenienced because you have to come for prayer meetings. Inconvenience because you have to come for training. Inconvenience because you have to come and clean. Be inconvenienced. Be tired. One day I told somebody who said, "Hey, you work a lot." I said, "It's better to be tired than to be hungry." Yeah, clap for the Lord. Those of you who complain at work, because you haven't lost a job before. When I lost the job, I realized it's better to be tired than to be hungry. Yeah. Now I've got a job. It's more hard work than my previous job, but I'm looking at it properly. It's better to be tired than to be hungry. May you not go to heaven hungry. May you get to heaven tired. When you're tired, Bible says that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. It's sweet. The sleep of a laboring man. You'll be hungry and sleep and see whether even the hunger, you'll not even sleep. And the dreams will be nightmares. Ah! Somebody will be bringing food and suddenly you will take it away. You'll be so frustrated in your sleep. But you work hard and get tired. You may not even find time to buy food because you're so tired, but you sleep soundly. May you sleep for the Lord. They that die in the Lord from henceforth, for they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Let me tell you something. Some of you are here. As I'm speaking, your mind is, "I'm a Christian." Like someone said, "Ah, it's in their heart. I'm a Christian. I'm not a backsliding Christian. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. What's the point? Why should I work for the Lord? There are many people who work for the Lord." Hey, let me show you in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, from verse 1. Let me show you in the Bible. First of all, hey, where are you going? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, listen carefully. First of all, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, first of all, you know, I told you that some of you are very faithful. But you're doing it the wrong way. You know, there are people who come to work. They're always there, but they don't work. Yeah. They're always there. They are there, but you'll be surprised. When they fired, you are surprised. But he's always there early, but he's not working. There's no output. I'll show you yourself in the Bible. New King James. Say, "Wherefore, holy brethren," New King James, "partakers of the heavenly calling," New King James, "consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Watch this, verse 2. "Who was very faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house." God is comparing two people, Moses and Jesus Christ. "I told you that I must be about my Father's business." It's talking about Jesus Christ. I want you to work like Jesus for the Lord, for the Father. Now, there's a difference. God is showing us that in the church, there's a difference. There are people who are faithful like Moses. They are always there. Just like some of you, you are always here. But you must graduate from being Moses, who is faithful, from Jesus, who is also faithful in another way. Watch this. Verse 3. "For this Jesus," this one, "was counted worthy of more glory than Moses." Listen to this, though. In the church, there are some that God values more than others. Is counted more worthy of more glory, more sparkle. You will shine more. Some shine more than others. Glory means Shekinah glory. God's light is thrown. Some of you are in God's whatever light. They call it what? Flat light. God's spotlight than others. There are some. You're all here, but there are people that their light is shining on. Counted worthy of more of God's light. Yeah, God has light on you. There are some of you like that. Whenever you are in church, there are lights around you. God's spotlight is on you. God's attention, you attract God's attention because of what you do. Now watch, how come? Who are the people who attract God's light? Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now, counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Did you see that?
So the question is, the first thing I'm saying is that you must be about your Father's business. The second thing is that do it like Jesus. The third thing is that do it such that God will give you greater glory. Greater glory. Greater shine. May you shine. May you shine as a husband. May you shine as a wife. May you shine as a student. May you shine as a worker. You can shine everywhere. I'm telling you. The key is here. God said he made him shine more. And he said, how? So the question is, how do you get to shine more? And he said, in a way that he who is building the house has more shine than the house. Okay, what does that mean? There are people who are here. You are builders. You are the workers. There are others too. They are just like, you are like furniture. You are the house. Brother, come. Like this man, he's in the choir all the time. Sing it. He's part of the building. He's working for the Lord. When you are working on a house, you are part of the building. You are building. You are building the house. God says in a great house, in this church, there are people who are builders and there are people who are part of the building. Yes. I'll say it again. There are people who are the reason why things happen. Who are the reason why the house is built. Who are the reason why you came. Somebody invited you. Somebody drove you in here. Somebody called you home. Somebody witnessed to you. Somebody cleaned the place. Somebody did something. They are the workforce. They are part of the building process. There are others who come. You just, the thing has been, you have been built. You are part of the building materials we brought, and you come and just sit down. Bible says the people that work, they deserve more glory than the people who are just part. Yeah. Yeah. You, when you go to your house, go there if you are with a spouse and let the spouse leave you and see. The house will never be the same. Never be the same. And God is explaining, how come some people have more glory? Says number one, because those who build are more honorable than those who are part of the building. You're part of the church, but you're not a builder of the church. Refuse to be just a part and be a builder. Amen. You are built to be a builder. Amen. More honor. I want to have more honor. I don't want to just sit down. What have I done? More glory, more shine, more sparkle, more light. That's one. Those who build have more glory. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Next one, go on, verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. Do you know what this means? Those who build are more anointed. Those who build the church of God are more anointed. Bible says that every house is built by someone, but what you don't know is that the church is being built, but it's God who's building it. God is all along the one who's been building. So as I'm preaching, it's God who's preaching through me. Yeah. You have to see the work of the Lord. As you are there shaking hands of people, it's God's work you're doing. God has to anoint you to do it. When you stand here, you join the choir, you sing. That you are just standing here. Listen, God is equipping you. The one who builds all things is God. You watch the people that get active in the church. They change. They get transformed. Something happened. This man was dying. I'm telling you. You don't know the history. This guy. When I found him. This guy that you see jumping all around. You don't know the story. He at a point, I moved him to the back. Because when he sit down, he's just like, sleep immediately, drooling saliva, whole shirt is messed up. Sometimes I look and I say, maybe he would die in the service. Oh. No, it worried me. It did worry me. Oh no, some of you didn't know. The church is quiet and you hear snoring, loud snoring. It was him. Truly. He couldn't help himself. Look. All his systems were shutting down. Then somebody even told him, man, you are too sick. Get out of this place. When he started working, somebody in the church told him, they are using you.
Am I correct?
You're correct.
What did they say?
They told me you were too sick to be doing anything.
And therefore, don't do anything. Stop working.
Right? No, stay at home and sleep.
Stay at home and sleep. I told him, your healing is in the work. Your deliverance in the work. Your health is in the work. Even if it will kill you, die serving rather than dying resting. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I told him, why retire when you can refire? This man decided to work. Today he's so handsome. Today he's so strong. Today he preaches. They don't recognize him anymore. He's like new. Yeah, not only is he born again spiritually, but physically I can see this man. One time he went and they did it, whatever, of the heart. They said the heart is failing. Failing. I said, brother, we're going to pray. Keep working for the Lord. A few months, go back. When you went back, what was the report and what did surprised you?
There was nothing wrong with my heart.
Zero. Everything. God gave me a new heart. A new heart. I'm telling you. Bible says he will spare you. Spare you as a son. A father spares the son who serves him. He spared him from death. He spared him from heart failure. He spared him from death, from wickedness. You watch it. When you see me young, you don't know my youth. I know you think I'm 23, but I'm older than you. Just do not know. Strength, my help comes from the Lord. It comes from serving the Lord. It comes from serving the Lord. It comes from serving the Lord. I am looking for service. Sons who will serve. There's no better thing than to work with your family people. God wants family that serve. Sons that serve. To spare you. Some of you will spare you from your poverty. He will spare you from your sickness. He will spare you from your sorrow. He will spare you from your depression. He will spare you from your worries. He will spare you from failure. He will spare you from your moral... fill in the gap. Fill in the gap. Whatever you need him to spare, serve him and expect him to spare you in Jesus' name. Yeah. I think I was on the verge of divorce. He spared me from divorce as I started serving him. And never stop your child, your spouse, your relative from serving God. You'll become a target of the devil. Yeah. So number two, this builder. God will work through you and his anointing heals. Yeah, the yoke is broken because of the anointing. And any time that you serve God, God has to anoint you. It's not your work. When you get to any place, he has to orient you. They have to check you in. They have to fill you with something that equips you for the work. God equips you with his anointing. And that anointing breaks yokes. Breaks yokes. Look, you don't know my background and what curses. Yeah. But as I serve the Lord, I have been singled out. No male ever finished college in my family. No male ever traveled and lived. You can't. No male. No male. When I started serving God, he spared me from the curse. He spared me from the family tradition. He spared me from familiar curses. Here I am. I'm presenting that to you. And then finally, verse 5. Says, and Moses indeed was also faithful in all his house, but he did it as a servant. He did it as a servant. Now, as you begin to serve the Lord, let your faithfulness not be as an employee. Employees, they clock in and they clock out. And when are they closing? Why are you calling for another meeting? That's a slave. That's a servant. That's an employee. I don't do this thing as an employee. I'm surprised that God separated the two. He said Moses was okay, was also faithful. In all his house, he was very faithful. Some of you are very consistent in church. Very faithful. But you come in, church has opened, church has closed. That's why you clock in as a servant. For a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterward. You want people to say, you came.
people to give testimony about you, to set record. Okay, go. But God says there's a higher one. But, verse 6, but Christ, he did it as what? As a son over his own house. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Christ, he did it as a son over his own house. I want you to take this church as your own project. The house of God as your personal property, as your personal responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the shepherd's responsibility. It's my Father's business. Jesus Christ said, we must be about our Father's business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. If you are a true son, if you are a true daughter, please do not treat the church like your job. You clock in, you clock out. They say we'll be here at whatever and we'll leave at 12:30. Hey, how come you're going beyond? That kind of thing. They said that it's Sunday. I'm not going to be here until Sunday. You are wrong. A son is forever. A son is found in the house of his Father. The Bible says, look, Jesus Christ, he did. There was a difference between Moses and Jesus. Moses did it as a servant. Moses, they told him, go and then, you know, produce some water. The people frustrated him. He struck the thing. That's a servant. Moses at a point. He said, God, why am I that these my children? Come and take your children. I'm tired. These people you sent me. And he called them stiff-necked fools. Yeah. But Jesus Christ, he said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Then he added, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, not how I wish. Sometimes I'm tired. I just tell the Lord, I wish that there was no service today. But since there's a service, not my will, but your will. Oh, I wish that I could come and sing without rehearsal, all this Saturday problem. Nevertheless, that's how it's good. Not my will, but yours be done. That's a son. But Moses said, come, I'm tired. Yeah. Elijah was the same. Come, take your anointing. I'm tired. God said, really? I find somebody who does it better. He found Elisha. And Elisha did it 2 times better. If you are serving in any capacity, you can stop. The thing will go on better than when you were here. Yeah, clap for the Lord Jesus. You can stop and go. You can go. I'm telling you, you don't need it. God does not need. God is not short of options. You watch it. He said, if you cease to praise me, I'll raise stones to praise me. And the stones will be my sons. Anybody who refuses to do anything, the thing always gets better. It's bypassing, and you become ashamed. If I stop preaching, I decide, oh, I'm tired. You see, God will raise somebody more anointed than me. Instead of raising stones, Lord, please, don't replace me with a stone. Use me. Use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Use me, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did it as a son. Take ownership. Tell someone, this is my church. I'm not just a worker. I'm not just a servant. I'm a son in the house. Jesus is my big brother. Jesus is my big brother. And let me tell you, what is it that God wants to do? Matthew 16:18. He said he called one of them. Peter, come. Peter, come. This is Peter. He said, from today, I've changed your status. He says, I also say from today. Peter was called Simon. Bible says, Simon, he surnamed Peter. You are Simon. You are Lex. Alexander is not good. From today, you'll be called Peter. You'll be part of the building products, but you'll also be a builder. You'll be stable and a builder. Upon you as a rock,
I will build my church. God uses people to build his church. And he said, because of that, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The devil that has kept people outside, because Peter accepted to be used, many people were delivered. The gates of hell did not prevail against the church. As we go into come home next week, there are many people that the gates of hell would have prevailed against them. The demons would have, Brother Michael was almost killed, but somebody invited him. Build the church of God through invitation. Tell somebody, five people is not too much. Maya, five people is not too much. Everybody must invite at least five. Even if they don't all come, three will come. We should be such that next week when we come, the place will be jam-packed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And then you will ask, Pastor, where do we sit? And I'll tell you, come closer to the anointing. Come and sit here. Five people. Five people. Peter built the church. Don't be just a fixture. Be part of the builders. And see how God anoints you. How God spurs you. How God upgrades you into jewels. Jewels. How God honors you. Because the builder has more honor than the builder. How God makes you a son and a daughter. And how God rewards you with crowns. How God spares you from evil. All these are advantages of people that build the church. Lord, help me never to stop. Help me never to be too proud to build. Help me to build forever. Not just this place, but everywhere that I go. Help me to affect people. Help your children to affect people. May the Lord use you. May the Lord anoint you. May the Lord affect you as you come. May you never, never become just a fixture, but may you be the reason why things are built. Next week will be the beginning of your testimony as a son who serves the Lord. Somebody will follow you. Somebody will give a testimony to God that if it was not for this man, if it was not for this woman, I would never be here. May that testimony be yours. May those five people follow you. May you start that today, whoever you meet. God will expose you to many people. May the people respond to you as the Lord anoints you. Rise to your feet. Clap for the Lord Jesus. If you can use... Yeah, sir. Lady Pastor, sing again. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart, Lord. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Oh, come on and use me, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. Take my hands and my feet, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Lord, use my hands.
Touch my heart. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me.
If you can use.
If you can use anything, Lord. You can use me.
Take my hands and my feet, Lord.
Take my hands, Lord, and my feet.
Touch my heart.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me.
If you can use.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Please put your hand on your heart. God is touching both your hand and your heart. Put your hand on your heart. Everybody, put your hand on your heart and speak to the Lord personally. The Lord, I want to be a builder. I want to be like Christ. Tell the Lord, I want to be about my Father's business. Don't be quiet. Speak to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I'm married. Tell the Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be about your business every day. Let me not die just as a fixture. Let me work until you call me.
Let me accrue crowns and build your church. Build people up. Let me be the reason why people come to know Christ. Let me be the reason why people come to know Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. With all heads bowed, you are here. You want to come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Please. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. You want to say, Lord, take my life and be my Father forever. I have not been sure, but now I want to be sure of who you are. I want to give my life to you. I want to surrender. I want to make sure my name is written in the book of life. I want to start serving you as a son, not as a servant. If you're here like that and you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, lift up your right hand and I'll pray a short prayer with you. God bless you. You are here. You want to lift up your right hand to serve the Lord, to just say, Lord, I surrender to you from today. God bless you. God bless you. That hand will be blessed. That hand. Whatever hand, whoever you want to surrender to, let's shoot out your right hand. Let me pray over that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Father, look at those hands that are lifted before you. In fact, come, let me pray for you. If your hand is lifted, come to the front. Allow them to come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Your hand is lifted. Just come. Give them away and let's come. Just come to the front. Come to the front. Thank you. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them. Clap for them as they come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now lift up your hands in front. Father, behold your children here. Use them. Touch them. Make a difference in their hearts. Transform them. May there be no doubt that they are your jewels. As you give them a new heart of surrender to be your children, use them and spare them as you use them. Say this after me. Almighty Father, I come before you as your child this time. I don't want to be by myself. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ so that you can use me as your son who serves you. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me. God raised him from the dead. By this faith, I am born again. I am a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be blessed. Be anointed. Be blessed. Be anointed in Jesus' name. Now, take this book. If you've never received this book, you have books. God bless you. God bless. Please be seated. God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Now, listen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.